Hey, thanks so much for listening to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. This is Doc Danny Matei, and I got a quick announcement for you, and it is about our Gym PT Blueprint program that we have been working so hard to revamp and update over the last few months. If you've already gotten that program, you're going to get access to all the updated modules that will come out in the middle of May. And if you haven't, I've got a special announcement with this program that we are adding as we open it back up, and that is that we are adding a two-day live component to this for everyone that signs up for the program when we open it back up. Now, this is something that we've never done before for this program. We've only had live events with our mastermind group alone, but with this, our goal is to get you the best result that we possibly can when you're starting your own practice within a gym, or if you've just started a practice within a gym and you haven't scaled it up past $5,000 to $10,000 a month in revenue. This is going to be the most kind of specific and ideal program that we could put together for you to help achieve that goal. So if you are interested in starting a cash practice in the gym, you have a cash practice in a gym and you're trying to scale it up to $5,000 to $10,000 plus a month in revenue, and you want a defined kind of repeatable system that you can plug in, as well as help from myself and all of my business partners in person for a couple days to really dig into your business and make sure that you are implementing the right things, head to physicaltherapybiz.com/live to get on the wait list for the updates for this program. Because it is going to have an in-person component, we're going to have to significantly limit the number of people that we can work with, but the goal is to get those people a significantly better result than just opening it up to everybody without this kind of hand-holding of this live event with me and my team. So if you want to work with me and my team, you want to get access to this awesome program that's going to come out in May, head to physicaltherapybiz.com/live just to get on the wait list of information coming out about what it actually includes, when it is, everything that you need. Head there and get signed up. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Matei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast.
I'm starting.
Oh, okay.
I hit record. I was hoping we'd have some.
It would have just rolled into like a conversation.
It didn't work. Anyway, what's up, guys? Doc Danny here, the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. And today, we're going to do a podcast. And by we, I mean me, Jared Moon, and Eve Gigi. We're all in Salt Lake City for a finance conference. So we'll definitely be sure to do some wrap up summaries of what we learn at this, this finance conference. But we're just sitting around kind of catching up and talking about experiences we had with school and the military and things. And one of the things we started talking about was this idea of a fixed mindset versus a growth mindset, and kind of delving into what that is. And honestly, I think for a lot of people that we see, especially the people that we do business development work with, the mindset side of things, it seems to be the biggest variable. And Eve, you do most of these, most of the onboarding calls for our mastermind. You're doing a lot of like one-on-one call coaching, as well as the small group stuff that we do. So you probably see this more, probably have more reps for this than anybody else. So from a mindset standpoint, what have you noticed when we first start working with people are like common patterns?
So for sure, I mean, when we're in PT school, we get a lot of dogma of where we are in the food chain, so to speak, and relative to the healthcare world, you know, where the doctors are and where PTs belong, as well as just where we fit in the healthcare insurance model. And that bleeds over even to these people who've made the leap into a cash-based business, who kind of understand like how to be more entrepreneurial and how to run their own business and get excited about it and realize they have a good skill set. When they get into some of these business things, they really feel like so many things are out of their control. Right? They have no idea how to tackle some of these next things. And it's very similar to a fixed mindset. It's like, I have no control over this. This is how it's going to be. What do I do next? And I feel like that's a big part of what we provide is A, we've done it. So we've kind of broken that glass ceiling. And then B, we can create some action around those things they need to be doing. And then they finally start to realize, hey, I can actually do these things. Like I can grow and I continue to do more things in a completely different way than I've been doing them before.
So how much of the big kind of steps that people take forward do you think are related to stepping out and exposing themselves to uncomfortable situations like getting turned down? And how much of it do you think comes down to preparation as well? Like, do you feel like those two things lead to these, I guess, steps forward within their mindset that you see, and is one kind of more important than the other from what you found?
I answer that like
so. Here's what I'm saying. Is it preparation or is it just getting out there and getting your ass kicked a little bit?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think PTs for sure will want to be perfectionists and want to prepare, and never actually create action, right? But a lot of it, and this is how I am. Jared and I were talking about this. Like, this is how I learn. I go about things. I will just go immerse myself in whatever I need to learn. Like, all right, I need to figure out how to create really good relationship with gym owners. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to as many different gyms and talk to as many different gym owners until I figure out the best way to create a relationship with the gym owner.
Yeah.
Right. And so whatever skill set you need, I really believe that the best way for myself, and I think for a lot of other people included, is to just go and do that thing over and over again, fail probably 15 times, 20 times. Eventually you're going to figure it out and you're going to get really good at that one skill.
Yeah.
One thing I've noticed, you're talking about getting out of your comfort zone. So having worked with a lot of entrepreneurs is, especially PTs, because you guys have worked so hard for a specific clinical skill set, you've like sharpened this spear to this point where you have this like really awesome thing. So when it comes to entrepreneurship, I see a lot of people not getting outside of their comfort zone in the form of like taking action. Like they just want to be the clinician. Like, I just want to do this thing, and they won't get out of their comfort zone to do the same with coaches. I just want to be a coach. I just want to coach people, help people. It's like, well, in order to help people and do more of your job, you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone and do these entrepreneurial things, you know? So bigger picture, before people even step to something like a mastermind, is like, where's your mindset in that regard? Are you hiding behind, which would be more fixed mindset, are you hiding behind this, no, I'm a physical therapist, I'm only going to focus on these skills, I'm not going to worry about these entrepreneurial side of things, or think that you don't need to push as hard in that area, but really you should probably be focusing on that more. Yeah. If you want to make more of an impact.
Yeah, and I most of the time what I see is the clinical skill set is not what holds people back from being able to have their own
right
brick and mortar, you know, practice, whether it be
beyond experts. Yeah, like
totally.
Yeah.
And I mean, maybe just coming out of school, like we're starting to see more and more people straight out of school go for it, you know, and kind of learn as they go. I think that's definitely a harder path than for me. I was, you know, four or five years out of school. I had a lot of reps under my belt. So clinically, I had a lot of confidence. I think you'd have to be a really unique new graduate that probably has a skill set in something before, some sort of coaching or some sort of niche that you were an athlete in, to really feel comfortable, you know, going out on your own initially. But talk for a second about fixed versus growth mindset and sort of explain those two for a second.
Yeah, so you have a fixed mindset, which is basically, we are the way that we are. This is how things are. And you just kind of accept that. Like, you know, my parents were this way, I'm that way. And you just can't really actually improve anything. You don't think that your efforts actually can improve much. And then growth mindset would be the opposite of that. Everything, you can figure out anything, you can learn anything, you can become anything, you can work towards anything. That would be the growth mindset. And that's obviously the mindset you want to push people towards in any capacity.
Why do you think some people, and this is more of like, now we're having a conversation, right? Like, why are some people more fixed rather than growth? Right. And even in certain areas, like, okay, clinically, I'm willing to grow, do get CEUs and sharpen the spear. But now I'm talking about business and marketing, and suddenly I shut down and I think now suddenly I'm fixed. Like, I'm trying to think of all the reasons.
Well, that's what I'm trying to point out is, like, I think that when you get this skill set or education or whatever, you don't think that you've been properly prepared for, because there's no entrepreneur school, you know, essentially. Mm-hmm. And so I think that people just feel less prepared. So they think that I don't have these skills, you know, so it's harder for them to go. There's no place to like go get them. So when you've been getting your education from a structured place for such a long time, it's harder to be like, well, I just got to go out and learn it on my own. So you kind of fall back to that natural fixed standpoint, I think is what happens to a lot of people, is there's truly no structure in entrepreneurship. Like most of us, all of us sitting here have learned by wasting a bunch of time and money. Yeah. And that's just how it works. And that's very uncomfortable.
I think the other thing is sometimes you don't have a choice, you know, like for instance, I had a mentor tell me one time that fear is a really strong motivator, right? So like when I got to a point in my military career as a physical therapist, where I started to resent my job at the time, like didn't want to go to work, you know, and was just like frankly unhappy with the situation I found myself in. And a lot of it was because I went from a position of a lot of autonomy in a brigade where I got to do a lot of hybrid work, strength and conditioning, physical therapy, like educating people on injury prevention work. And then it was right back into a high volume clinic where I also knew my trajectory, right? It was like, okay, I see what my boss is doing. She's a major, I'm a captain. I'm going to do what she's doing next, because if I want to make lieutenant colonel, I have to do this next role, right? It's a stepping stone job. So when I made the decision that it was time to do something else, you know, it's a difficult transition. We've all done it, right? And especially when you have kids in the mix and you have a significant other, and then all of a sudden it's like, I have to figure this out, right? So you can't, I don't know. I mean, there's definitely people that give up. There's a lot of that. We've seen it recently with people that, you know, we've worked with. And I frankly, I feel bad for them, because I've been there too. And I know how, I guess, frustrating it can be when you're getting turned down, when you're trying to figure something out. It's like the research professor I had at Baylor. I remember John Childs. He's like fairly well known within our profession. He's the laziest, John, if you're listening to this, you're the laziest teacher I've ever had in my life. And here's why I say that. Because when we went to our research fundamentals, he just gave us a statistics book and that was it. He gave us a stats book and we had to figure it out. And his whole philosophy was the best way to figure it yourself or figure out how to get around a new city is to get lost. So he just felt like we had to get confused and lost within statistics. Maybe there's some merit to it. I think he was just busy with other stuff and he just gave us a book and we had to figure it out. But my point is, if you don't have any other option, you can't be fixed. I couldn't just like get turned down or not know how to like set up a website or a market or how to get people in my door and then come home and then try to understand like how the heck am I going to get food for our two kids, you know, that can't really do anything for themselves. So at some point, I think inherently when you take that leap, you don't have a choice. You shove yourself into it's either a do or die kind of position where you either evolve or you suffer the consequences of not. And for a lot of people, that's enough. That fear is enough to make them shift. Because I would say 5 years ago, like my mindset today is significantly different than it was 5 years ago. And if it wasn't, then that would mean that I'm very stagnant as a human being, right? 5 years from now, I hope that I look back and we listen to this and we're like, damn, no shit. I had so much more to learn, right? So I don't know. How did it feel for you? Because your kids were basically the same age as mine whenever you stepped out.
Yeah, there's so many things I want to hit on there. I mean, A, I love the idea of that kind of burn the ships kind of method of doing things. And I think you're totally right. Like when I look back at myself last year, and I want this to be for the rest of my life, I want to be almost a completely different human every single time. You know what I mean? Like I think I know, who knows if I do or not, I feel like I do, know so much more about everything, but also realize how much I don't know at the same time. Right. And just like that continuous cycle of kind of wanting to learn more and realizing you need to know even more. And just like, it gets to be somewhat contagious. We talked earlier about being comfortable with being uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. And like now it's at the point where like, if I'm comfortable, I'm uncomfortable, which is interesting, right? Like I hate being comfortable. I hate like I want to get there in some regards, but in most regards, I just want to continue to be uncomfortable. Cause then I realize that, you know, that kind of, if you're not growing, you are dying aspect of things.
Yeah. Well, even for Jared, like I'd love to hear, you know, how it was for you, because not only did you go from, you know, in the military, I was a physical therapist. I didn't change careers. You went from flying jets to starting an online health and wellness business. That's probably the complete, I can't think of like much. It's like a polar opposite from, I mean, it was totally different. So for you, yeah, what was that transition like?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of tough, I think, because you start to wrap your identity around certain things, you know, being in the aviation world for such a long time, like I knew that I didn't want to be a commercial pilot or anything like that. I always thought I would fly really cool jets in the Air Force and then do something else after the fact. So I wasn't like so attached to that, like it was life shattering when that dream was snatched away from me. But it was quite a transition because I hadn't spent the time building a name in the industry that I wanted to go into. Mm-hmm. It was just like, everything was from scratch. Like you're saying, like you walked out of the Army with a skill set,
right,
that had been practiced. And I, like, while I was always into fitness and had been coaching a little bit on the side or whatever, it wasn't anything significant to where it was like, you know, I'd been putting in 50 hours a week to be this expert. So yeah, I had to start from scratch on every regard, like going an unproven, untested online business in a field where I don't even really have a name. It was, I don't know, a bit ludicrous now to look back on it. But I think you hit on it, is that fear mentality. A lot of people ask me about online business, and I tell them that you can't be a person who, like, I don't do that thing. Like, I get that a lot. Like, oh, well, yeah, I'm not, I don't do websites. Nope, not an option.
Yeah.
Like, you do a website because you're a solopreneur with no money. You do a website. You know, like, if you get to a point where you can hire a bunch of shit out and you want to be that person and sound cool, go for it. But at the beginning, you have to learn how to do everything if you want to succeed. And a lot of that comes from fear of failing, fear of failure that just is going to keep propelling you forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great point. I mean, even the way, like the website, I remember building our website while I was still in the Army. I had like, I guess it was probably the last month that I was in before I went on, terminal leave whenever you retire or not, or you get out.
Yeah. Sounds way worse for people who aren't.
I know, like terminal, like,
but it's called terminal.
Yeah, so I had like 2 months of that, but before that, the last month that I was in, over lunch, before work, after work, I would be building whatever I thought. Our website looks totally different now than it did originally, but like I had to just slap something together so that I could start putting content up. I knew I wanted to put like blogs up and stuff like that, and I didn't know shit about building a website. You know, I don't know anything about content creation or marketing or sales. Like, I didn't know any of this stuff. Yeah. And I think for a lot of people, it's also what stops them. It's like, there's so much. There's just so much to like have to learn or absorb or try to get right that they get this. And we see this with people that even have gotten our blueprint. Like we were talking about this earlier today. Like we follow up with them. They're a year out and they haven't done anything. And it's because they get this, what is it, paralysis by analysis. They're like, oh, where do I start? What do I do next? And they do nothing because it's comfortable to just do nothing and maintain. And it's uncomfortable to then put yourself in a position where you're having to struggle to like learn something. But I think that for me, if it wasn't for going into business for myself, I think that I would be a much less resilient human being. I've learned so much about in some ways, maybe physically, it's like your endurance capacity to be able to work, but also mentally, like your ability to solve problems and learn things and go outside of what you think you can do. Like you just learn a lot about yourself. And a lot of times it's in a somewhat of a harsh environment, you know, like, well, it's like sort of the obstacle is the way idea, right? Like from things that I thought were terrible turned out to be some of the most important lessons that I've ever learned. Right. And so I think that it's challenging to say that you can learn this stuff from a book or you can learn this from a mentor. It's like you can like learn how to exercise from a book, but you actually have to fucking exercise to get benefits from it. You know what I'm saying?
To learn how to suffer, you know, like for workouts, right?
Right. And I think physical training has a lot of carryover to entrepreneurship as well, because you know, it sucks. Like sometimes you don't want to get up and go, but you don't have a choice. So I think if we're looking at this fixed versus growth mindset, I like to throw in this idea of like people viewing themselves as a victim too much. And I've talked to people on the phone about this. They were interested in joining our mastermind or just doing business consulting. And I'll stop people dead in their tracks when they're like, yeah, but so-and-so down the street, like doesn't want to send people my way. I'm like, dude, stop that shit right there. Like you're blaming another human being for not wanting them to do something you want them to do. Like you maybe haven't developed a relationship enough. Maybe your service isn't good enough to warrant them actually sending their clients to see you. Like, don't go blame other people. Like, let's figure out what you can do to improve that. And it's so interesting for me to, I don't know if many people just haven't been coached, like, in a very blunt manner. I don't think people get yelled at as much as they used to, but to get somebody to like, to literally tell you like, dude, you're probably not as cool as you think. And if you were, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Maybe you're not as good of a clinician as you think. Maybe you don't have as good of fulfillment as you think. And that's a difficult thing to, for somebody to get challenged with. So like, this idea of growth or and fix is great, but like the victim mindset, the victim mentality, I feel like that can rob people of so much potential growth, you know, in its own right. So what have you guys found? Because I'm definitely guilty of this too. Have you found anything that's been helpful to really get you back on track with like, all right, I'm starting to blame other people. I've got to get back on track with this growth mindset versus fixed.
Yeah. I mean, you're basically talking about, we talked about it earlier, this victim mindset. And it's one of our core values at Made to Move is the ownership aspect.
Right.
It's just the simple fact of like accountability for your own actions. And it goes along with the growth mindset and the fact that I can control, you know, you have control. Like it is up to you and nobody else. It has nothing to do with the person down the street. It has nothing to do with your environment. It has nothing to do with your parents and how you grew up. It has nothing to do with like where you went to school. It literally has everything to do with how you are perceiving what's going on and how you're reacting. You can react in one way. This is, I go through this all the time, like with all licensees. Things aren't going my way. And I was like, you can react this way and be the victim, or you can react this way and figure it out. You choose. Like, there's not really, it's really cut and dry for most people. It's like A or B. You can choose. And like, when you put it that way, they're just like, okay, I'm going to pick, hopefully you're going to pick B every single time. And if you really make us, it's, for me, I want to make things as simple as possible. Like, just not that smart. I want to keep it simple. So I'm going to pick one or the other. I'm going to go for B every single time and just figure it out. And it may take you like 4, 5 times, 10 times, but I'm going to figure it out at some point.
Yeah.
It sneaks up on you. So I had to think about that for a minute after you asked. I was like, have I really, because I feel like I've been so far removed from the victim mentality that it almost doesn't associate anymore. But then I was thinking about it. So the first year of my business, I wasn't necessarily blaming anybody, but I was waiting on other people. Mm. I was like, the business, it was going okay, but I kept thinking like, I'm going to get a big break when some so-and-so does this, or like when this happens. And I was on a trip. I was actually by myself, and I just at a conference, and I realized, not through anyone saying it, I just realized then and there, I was like, wait, you're like fully in control of how hard you press the gas pedal. And ever since I realized that, it's been several years now, like I just went apeshit on everything. I was like, oh yeah, I'm in control of this. I don't have to wait on someone else to provide some sort of opportunity or some big break or like anything like that. And so literally from that point, I'm like, okay, I'm going to read a book every week. You know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to learn everything. And since I've had that like aggressive.
Wait, you read a book every week?
Well, I've slowed down a little bit.
But I would say, Jesus, that's a lot of books.
Well, after that realization, I committed to a book a week. I did that for a year, and then I slowed down a little bit. But I mean, I probably about every 10 days now, I'm still crushing a book. Oh, well, okay. Listening to a book.
When I say read, I mean listen.
Yeah, when I say read, I mean listen.
It counts, man.
I probably
it's read. Still content. Sure, you're still getting into brain.
Yeah, and in the 200 books I've read, only two of them have actually been read. The rest of them, you know, and in the last couple of years, they've all been listened to. But ever since then, I've been getting after it. And, you know, going to, if someone's in their entrepreneurial journey right now, I'm a firm believer in it's like, well, what do I go learn? Like, what do I do? Like, what is the thing? And yeah, there is some skill sets of like marketing and copy and sales that you need to know to be good at business. But I really think if you just get in a practice, a daily or weekly practice of just making yourself better, whatever that is, like if you're going to read a book or exercise, whatever, just making sure that you're doing that stuff all the damn time, you'll find out the better you make yourself and the more confident you are, everything else is going to get better too, to include your business.
Yeah. Confidence is that linchpin sort of, to me in particular. I noticed that with, you know, the people that we work with, but also just, I mean, just in general, I feel like successful people, they're just confident with what they're doing. And on the flight here, I watched Free Solo, the Alex Honnold documentary.
I loved it. Yeah.
Dude, that was intense. I mean, I was like, sweating.
Yeah, that was really good.
Watching him climb up the mountain there. But what I thought was interesting, and I was like, damn, this is so accurate. He talked about how much confidence was important for him to be able to be in the right mindset to climb a mountain with, you know, no rope, free solo it. And in the film, you see him going up to these different sections of it, taking these elaborate notes on everything, like understanding, like when he explains like that tricky part of like going around, like, I think it's, I forget what it's called, like this difficult section on the way up, and how he has to like put his thumb in, then put his two fingers in, and move him around, and then he has to move his feet, and then he has to like kick a leg out, and then he has to like move a certain percentage of his balance over. I'm like, holy shit, like there's a reason why this guy can do it. It's because he's got so many reps in, he's gained confidence in his skill. So for me, I feel the same way. Like, maybe you're not confident in what you're doing right now, but how much practice have you put in? Like, before I started teaching for Mobility Wad, I literally like memorized the entire manual and recited it for weeks. I would stand in the guest room we had at our house in Columbus, Georgia, and I would stand there with a whiteboard and I would like write shit out and I would talk it out. Ashley got so tired of this. Imagine a grown man talking to nobody in a room for 8 hours. I would do that. I did that plenty of times, not once, probably 10 times, because I knew I had to stand in front of 50 people and I had to present this material in an intelligent way. And the only way I could do that in a way where I wouldn't come off like shaking like crazy and just being really anxious was I had to like memorize it, absolutely memorize the entire manual. So I did. It took me a long time. But like, there's confidence associated with the mastery of material, or close to mastery of material. So I think that that's the other variable for people. Like, you're talking about you've had your 200 books down on like personal development, business, whatever else you're listening to, probably Hunger Games. I don't know what you're throwing in there. Something like that.
I don't need fiction.
No fiction. But that's a lot of books. Yeah. That's a lot of information. There's confidence that comes along with that. So I think part of it is, if you're trying to, maybe you're kind of stuck in this fixed mindset or victim mindset, but if you can just do something as simple as try to get through a book every 10 days, like, books are cheap education. Mm-hmm. Do that for, you know, not even, let's just say, let's hit 2 books a month. We'll taper it down a bit. Try to get through two books a month and see where you're at confidence-wise in a year. I guarantee you, if you actually did that, your confidence and your ability to like go out and do something entrepreneurial or whatever the hell it is you want to learn about would be so much better. Because I've done the same thing. I think books are huge.
Nobody talks about those little things. I had never heard that story before of you practicing in front of a mirror for 8 hours. Like,
there's no mirror.
That's a very
white wall.
Yeah, whatever. Sorry, white wall, even better. Yeah. Right? Like, that takes like a certain amount of just like dedication and like work ethic that also goes along with everything else. Mm. That I think, you know, people always talk about like, oh, you're here and you're successful. Like, nobody ever, it sounds cliche, but like nobody talks about all the hard work that kind of took you to get there. Like, you just like wake up and be able to present in front of 50 people. Like, no, you sat in front. Well, I can't help but picture it. It seems hilarious to me. You know, just doing it over and over again until it was like, yeah, you knew it like the back of your hand. I think that's extremely powerful and people need to know that.
Well, I mean, I feel like people underestimate the amount of work it takes to get a business started. I mean, if I knew what it took, I'm not quite sure that I would, like where our family is currently at, I'm not quite sure I would have a harder time going back and doing it, knowing. And sometimes it's better not to know. So maybe don't listen to this part, but the reality is it's really fucking hard mentally, physically. But that being said, the ability to take a chance on yourself, and really more than anything, the creation of something that is really, it's yours. It's, you decide what you do, you decide how you do it, having freedom over like what you decide to do and the time freedom to do the things that you think are most important. I don't know if that's worth it. It's much more important to me than any of the financial changes we've had over the last 5 years.
And it gets easier, right? Like you said, it's hard for you to get back in that mindset. It's the same thing for me. Sometimes I may have difficulty.
Do you think it gets easier, or do you think you just get more accustomed to the discomfort associated with nothing being guaranteed?
Why are they not one and the same?
You know what I mean? Like, I wonder.
I agree with that, but yeah. I'm saying it's basically the same in my opinion.
It's true.
It's just easier. Like, yeah. I'm just very, again, very comfortable with doing something that's really freaking scary and just doing it again.
I just think it's different problems eventually, yeah. Right? Like, you just end up problems get bigger, problems get more complex, but you have more information, you have more resources, you have more experience, and then you get an opportunity to solve those problems, right? So I think it's one of the, like, some people think, oh man, like, am I ever going to get to the point where I can cash out and I can go do nothing? That sounds like torture. That sounds awful. I think that one of the best things about entrepreneurship is you can't be complacent. Or you can, but eventually that's going to bite you in the ass.
Yeah. I have one quick, like, interesting question. I'm just more curious of y'all's thoughts. So when you get to something new and an obstacle, or you're about to tackle something that you know is going to be difficult, I think the importance of self-talk is really huge, of like, what are you saying to yourself? You know, so like when you're about to tackle that problem, what is the mind process that you guys go through when you're like, all right, I'm about to give a presentation, or I'm about to have to learn this new skill, or I'm about to have to, whatever that thing may be, tackle this workout? It could be all the same. Like, you know, I have a certain process I feel like I go through, but I'm really curious if you guys, what you guys say, because I think that's really important. A lot of people's self-talk, I really noticed, is like, I can't do this. Like, I don't think this is going to happen. I might as well quit now, you know, as opposed to like, you know, and I'll have those thoughts too. Mm-hmm. All those initial thoughts will be there, but almost immediately I'm like, no, I've done this before. And like, I, you know, let's go ahead and just try this. Like, let's see what happens. And then, oh man, I was able to do this. Right. And so really curious what you guys, if you, you know, putting you on the spot.
Want me to go? You go?
I mean, I think my self-talk is, it's almost going to come off the wrong way, but like, I'm incredibly confident even to myself, like almost to a fault. Like I've always said, like I'm almost, even growing up, you know, I don't know, with my parents or whatever, but like, you can have like an entitled mentality if you're willing to go work your ass off to get what you think that you're entitled for. I won't go down the millennial rabbit hole there. I'm just saying, but like, that's, I've always been like who can do this fucking better? Like, you know, like name them. And then if I can find that person, then I'll try and learn what they do. But most of the time I just go in really confident. That takes a lot of reps though, but it always determines like where you're at. I obviously didn't feel like that in entrepreneurship for a long time. And I still feel like I run up across problems, but I'm so confident in not my ability to do it, but my ability to figure it out. So I'm always like, something comes up, I'll be like, yeah, like, I don't know what I'm going to do here, but you know what? I'm like damn confident in my ability to learn how to solve the problem. So that's where my self-talk goes, is like, yeah, I might be scared shitless or not, you know, not think it's possible or whatever, but I think I'm extremely confident in my ability to learn how to do things. And that's normally where my self-talk goes.
Yeah. Everybody's is different.
You know, I think one of the resources has been really helpful for me for that stuff has been a lot of Jocko Willink stuff. I think his stuff is really good. I love his kids' books. I mean, I think like by and large, most of the stuff that he talks about is just really, really spot on. It's really beneficial for the most part. But he has this little, it's like a 2-minute clip. I think the name of the video is just good or something like that.
It's a great video.
It's the best video.
It's probably his most popular.
I watch it probably like at least every month.
I have not seen this video.
Think about getting a good tattoo, right? Just on my forearm.
Dude, you should. So, and the point of the point of, and maybe we can like figure out how to link this in the show.
If it's educational, we can just play it. You know,
yeah, that's true.
Just wrap it in here.
I don't want to screw anything up. Here's the deal: go to YouTube and then just type in Jocko Willink. Good, that's it. And we'll let Eve watch it after this, and then he's gonna stay up all night working. But the summary of it is, you know, he talks about anytime something negative would happen with his guys when he was in the military, he would always say good. Like, good, that gives us time to do something else. Or good, now we get to do this. Or good, we just learned this. Now we're going to be better off because of whatever. And so for me, I try to take that with whatever's going on within my life, you know, whether not just business-wise, but just in general, and also with our kids. And I think that the things that I've learned the most from starting a business, I've learned a ton from that about myself, but also just like had to learn a lot and having kids, because you know, kids are interesting, man. Kids model you both positively and negatively. And also I feel like it's an opportunity for us to take all this like time and repetition and experience that we do have, where we've really tried to like develop ourselves to just continually progress. And then we get to apply that to these little human beings that we're raising. Like, I can't say, you know, there's nothing wrong with my parents, and my parents were awesome. But I can't really ever say that they ever sat down and like explained things to me about why you can't quit, or why it's not, you know, it's okay to get frustrated, but are you learning anything from that? You know, it really wasn't like, I came from a house where I think I told, was it you I was telling that? Like, I think I saw my dad cry one time when our dog died. This is in my entire life. Like, I can think of, right? But that's because that's the way he was raised. It wasn't like, we don't talk about emotions at anything, right? It's like, not that, that's just not it. But there's a difference between that, and there's a difference between talking about learning from mistakes or learning about something that's going to help you along the way. So I think that for me, I look at something like what Jocko talks about, but also, you know, how would I want my kids to respond to a certain situation? Like, what kind of example would I want to be able to show to them? Because they are watching everything I do. You know, all of our kids are.
Yeah.
So if we are contradictory and hypocritical about, we say something, you know, like, I tell my kids not to eat sugar, right? They catch me eating a freaking ounce of something and they call me out. It's annoying. But it's true.
Yeah.
It's
like, they're little mirrors.
Totally. So that's, I look at them as a way to also understand like the way that you respond to things, what would I want them to take away from it? And I try to model that as well.
Yeah.
And how much of this you can learn versus how much is just innate? I mean, good books to like follow up on this discussion is Grit by Angela Duckworth and Mindset by Carol Dweck. But Carol, she covers a little bit more of like the kids' standpoint of like, where does it come from? Can we build it in children and everything? Because to be honest, I'm trying to reflect a little bit more on like where some of this stuff, where this mindset came from. But Emily and I got married when we were both 22 years old. So yeah. We got married and I was kind of putting our finances together because I knew we both had debt and everything. I was like adding everything up in like Excel or something like that. I was just wanting to see where we were at, minimum monthly payments. I remember I finally calculated it all out and it was like $101,000 and 300 something, you know, like, and I was like, shit. And I think a lot of people would have been stressed out, and I was like, this is going to make such a good story when I pay all this shit off. That was how, like, that was just my thought. And that was the only time I ever paused and was like, you're a little weird. Like why would you have that thought? You know, it's like a detached, like, thought about a thought. But I was like, that's like a very different type of mindset to have. So if you don't have these skill sets, you can learn them. But a lot of it could be, you know, from your parents, from different things that you picked up. That Jocko Good mentality. Some people were just like born with that. I guarantee Jocko didn't go on some self-development journey to learn that shit. It's just Jocko is Jocko, you know, and like he picked that shit up along the way. And so it's like this.
No, it's interesting to think about like innate. I look back at my life a little bit and I was an only child for 10 years and I had a special needs little sister that got spinal meningitis when she was 3 months old. Mm-hmm. And like that changed our lives completely.
Yeah.
And I attribute a lot of my mindset and how I view things of like seeing that journey of my little sister, right? And I feel like that's a big part of that development. Some people are born with it. And I feel like environmentally, that was a big part of like, holy crap, just like viewing another human life in that way and how she viewed perspective. Like they gave me a lot of perspective and like put the flywheel. So it's like, it can come from kind of either route, from that kind of innate ability you're born with it, or maybe like something happened in your life and like, all right, it's time to get my shit together. Bam. And then you're going, the flywheel starts going.
Well, it's interesting to be able to look back on that stuff too, you know? And I think this is just, I think a lot of people shy away from that, looking back at things that maybe lessons they learned or difficult things that they went through, or maybe just, I mean, it could just be lots of different things that happened to you as a kid, but they have such a strong effect on like the way you view things. We see this all the time with money, right? Like I tell a story about my grandparents. They would boil a ham. Like we would go to their house. They were the cheapest, you know, like quintessential, my grandfather is Scottish. My grandmother was Irish. The Scottish are like notoriously cheap human beings, right? So like he would boil a ham and we'd eat that for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for a week. Like my brother, sister, I cannot eat ham. And it was because they're Depression era people. And so they were always like, we don't know if this is going to happen again because we lived through the Great Depression and it sucked, right? And then, okay, your parents, that's how they grow up, right? They view things a certain way. And in business, like having a mindset like that can be very detrimental. You look at everything in the scarcity mentality. You're always like worried about somebody taking your business. And, you know, there's all this fear associated with it and not really realizing that like that there's always going to be more money to be made. There's always more people to work with. It just gets transferred to people that are like willing to grow and also and people that make better decisions. Like dumb people will lose money and customers, and people that are resilient and smart will gain them. So which one do you want to be? If you want to go into business for yourself, I hope you decide to go the route of like growing and trying to be as best as you possibly can. So, I mean, I just think that when we start looking at some of this stuff, there's just so much that can be attributed to that. But it's, I think for a lot of people, they never really look at it that way. And maybe they never have anybody talk to them about like, hey, do you ever think that this might have something to do with the way that you view this? You know, and I don't know, man. I see so many people that are just out there, and I have family members like this, and they just blame other people for it. And they've had shitty things that happened to them. Granted, I haven't had a lot of bad shit happen to me in my life. And I have family members that have. And they're very bitter. They're very difficult to be around. They're like energy vultures. It sucks. And they add stress to our family. And when we go to talk to them about stuff like that, it's like they want nothing to do with it. And it's tough in that position with you talking to your family member versus somebody that's maybe outside that they disassociate from your family. But you know, if they just continue to blame people, it does nothing good. It just makes it worse and worse.
You say that not a lot of bad things have happened to you, but I can think of multiple stories that have. And I feel like that's just that video is going to definitely be stuck in my head forever. You just were like, oh crap, I have to sell this, whatever the cold thing was that you had to sell for your practice.
And, oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, I didn't get deployed. And I'm like, you know, good. You kept saying, oh good, this is my next opportunity. Okay, good. This is my, like, that has very much to do with like how you perceive that, not necessarily maybe what happened to you. There's, I'm sure if you look back at it, you could have got taken everything a completely different way. You know, like the Air Force, like, oh good, now I can go tackle $100,000 worth of debt. Like, yeah, it's a little crazy, but it's just purely based off of your mindset, self-talk. I think, you know, I don't know if it comes down to one thing, but that really seems like a very powerful starting point for a lot of people.
I wonder how much is trainable though. Cause like, I mean, I have two siblings and they're both really good people, but definitely they fall into a very similar path. They like my dad with government worker through and through, straight Army 25 years. He's been in the government system as a GS employee now for, I think, almost 20 now. So he's 45 years roughly in the government system, right? And a perfect job for him is a job where he's at 8 o'clock in the morning, leaves at 4, has about 3 hours of time during the day where he doesn't have to do anything, and he's still getting paid. Like, that's like the ideal job for him, right? My brother and sister are very similar. That type of environment makes me feel awful. Like, I feel terrible. It's, the days are so long. I'm not getting any, like, I don't know, enjoyment out of that. And I wondered, you know, we are all in the same family. You know, it's like, I don't have to come from a broken home. My parents are still married. They still like each other. Like,
right.
Like a Leave It to Beaver family, right? So like, so there's not any sort of like internal turmoil there, but I don't know how much of that is like nature versus nurture or how much is that trainable. Like, I think it's trainable, but certain people bias more towards one viewpoint than another. I don't know. Have you ever had like talk to anybody about getting out of that?
I think it's, you'll have to come to some sort of like, you have to see it somewhere else. See it come true, like see it in somebody else. And like, here's just another example. And I mean, it's kind of along the same lines, but I used to be really skeptical, like super skeptical. And a lot of people pride themselves in their skepticism. I like see it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I used to be like, if I saw like an online course for $2,000 teaching me digital marketing, I'd be like, I'm not going to fall for your trick. I'm not going to spend you won't get me in your sales funnel. You know, like all this stuff. Cause I'm just like super, super skeptical about this stuff. And I see it all the time. with things that cost money, you know, and like these people with their mindsets around it. But then I'll never forget. So I had a mentor for a really long time, but there was a 6 month time period from when I graduated college until I could go active duty. And I had to get a job during that time frame. And so I worked for this incredibly wealthy entrepreneur, and she sat me down and she was like, "You can be here for the next 6 months and collect a paycheck and leave." She's like, "That's fine. Or you can learn as much as possible and like basically change your life." And I was like, "I'll try that one." And so I just started looking around her office, and her office was like full of shit that like you see on like infomercials about how to buy real estate, all this stuff that you think is bullshit that you see on TV or like online, you like think that are scams. She had bought into every single one of them. And her net worth is hundreds of millions of dollars, you know? And so like once I saw that, I was like, oh, maybe there's something to like spending money on these things and like getting something out of it. But if I'd never had an experience like that, I would be exactly where you're saying, mm-hmm. like this, like super scarcity, let's be super comfortable, work the government job type thing. So I really think it was like you may have been like more innate the way you are. I had like a transformational moment almost where I was like, you can't be this way like that. So I really think that you can change, but I don't know if you can necessarily just sit there and train yourself. I think you have to see it happen. Mm. There has to be some catalyst for that change if you aren't in where you want to be right now.
Yeah. It's a good point, man. And in particular, I felt the same way with the digital stuff. Like the idea of like investing in information seemed really dumb to me.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it's not tangible. I'm not putting this in my Roth IRA. Like I didn't get it.
Yeah.
You know? And now, I mean, shit, look at us. We're out here and we're in Salt Lake for a workshop, and we're hoping it takes, like, if we take one thing away from this that has to do with finance, investing, you know, whatever, cash flow that can benefit ourself, our businesses, and then leverage that to our mastermind. So fuck, it's a win.
Yeah.
Just one damn thing. I'm totally down to do that. And this is an expensive course and trip. So, you know, it's interesting. Like once you start to realize like that there's a return on investment, if you take information and act on it, I think that's the biggest key is like, if you buy information, if you invest in information and you don't actually like implement it, it's a waste of your money. You should be skeptical. Like nothing's going to happen. Yeah. But if you actually do that, and this is the hard part, this is where nobody follows through. It's like, that's where the work is. You can't buy it and then instantly you have this kind of gratification where you're like, oh, cool, I solved the problem. It's like, if I buy like 6 minute abs, you know, okay, I bought it, now I got abs. It doesn't work that way. You got to put the work in. So, you know, I think that mindset change is huge. And it's probably been one of those things that over the last, you know, however many years has really helped your business grow significantly. Because now all of a sudden you see your friend who's worth hundreds of millions of dollars with having all these notebooks and DVDs of like Dean Graziosi or whatever.
Yeah, like bullshit.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and she's crushing it.
Yeah.
So I totally agree. That's really interesting you saw that. Do you ever anything like that?
For sure. I feel like there's a lot of inflection moments like you've talked about. So like one that's really interesting story, and we've talked about it maybe in previous podcasts, but so I was going to sell my insurance-based practice, possibly go cash. I wasn't sure. Going to be in a CrossFit gym. The CrossFit gym owner took your mobility wad class and told me about you. I don't know how much you remember this, but we had a phone call.
Yeah.
Which is a regular phone call, and we're like, hey, I'm doing this cash thing. I had no idea about it. It's like, oh, that sounds really awesome. You know, like, oh, I might do that. I might not. Who knows? And then I'm about to make that final decision, and I reach back out to you, and I was like, hey, what's going on? Like, I'm going to come hang out. And you're like, well, yeah, it costs – I forgot what it costs.
I think it was $600.
Whatever.
I remember. You want to know why we did that? Because Kelly Sturette told me – I had so many people reaching out about business mentorship. And I'm trying to actually run my damn business at the time, right? And he was like, dude, just put a number on it and the right people will say yes and the wrong people will be deterred.
Yeah.
And you're the first person that ever said, there was probably a dozen people before you I said that to, and they were like, oh, never mind. And when you said yes, I had no idea what the hell was gonna happen. I actually had to reschedule two patients middle of the day because I didn't know what to do. I figured we needed some time for like lunch.
Yeah.
To like talk or something. And Ashley, I remember Ashley was like, oh crap, you actually have to go through with it now. So
yeah, y'all look like y'all had it together and done it multiple times. Just by the way, great job.
Well, no, but yeah. my point is, like, look at where we're at now. Yeah. You know, I'm I think that the willingness to, like, reach out for help and associate that time with, you know, something that is worth your time to go there and to learn. I mean, that's rare. Not a lot of people do that.
Yeah. I mean, that was my first time. So, like, pretty much up until then, I was like, yeah, I can figure this stuff out. Like, totally on my own. Like, I've gotten to this point my entire life, basically. I was like, I'm really going to pay $600 just to go, like, watch somebody treat. But I was like, I don't know what it was. I was like, I've never seen this done before. I need to actually physically go see it. And then, yeah, I mean, I told the story to another physical therapist who reached out to me and I had coffee with. And I was like, that was a huge inflection point. That was just the point where I realized that once you pay money for something, and when I actually was physically able to go see it and do it, it just, everything kind of clicked.
Well, there's a lot of confidence for that, right? And I remember sitting at lunch with you and you said, I'll never forget it. It was so funny. You were like, you seem to just kind of talk to people all day.
I say that story all the time. And people say it to me all the time. Like, what do you do all day? I was like, yeah, I just talk to people.
Yeah, and we're sitting there at lunch and I was like, yeah, cause it's probably like 50% bullshit, 50% actually trying to do something. But I was only like a year into the practice, right? What I didn't realize was the non, like, hard skill side, right? Like the actual, like, just engaging with another human being, like having a conversation with them is so valuable. You know, like, I can't think of anybody that ever cried when I was in a room with them doing an eval or follow up or anything like that when I was in the Army. Never, never. And I'm sure I had some people going through some difficult shit. It normally a week doesn't go by where somebody's not breaking down in my office. And not that I'm like, you know, I'm not like, hey, you know, you're a piece of shit. Like, no, that's not that. We're just talking about what's going on and no one's ever listened to them, which is so crazy for me. And that you pointed that out was helpful for me to realize, like, oh yeah, you're right. Like, I think people do like that. And we teach that to our staff. You know, we're like, dude, don't go straight into it. You got to talk to them about what the hell's going on in their life. We're trying to make a connection with them. And I mean, I think that's really, really important. I learned a lot from that one day in its own right. So, I mean, like, the fact that I should have paid you for it, you know, like, that's really, I mean, I took a ton away from it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the reason I eventually went cash. You know what I mean? Was that, like, basically that one day I kind of looked around and was like, yes, there's no reason. I kind of looked at what I was doing before, looked at what you were doing. And I was like, there's no way I can ever not do what you're doing. And just from then on out, you know, and I could have easily just said no and be like, eh, and I could be running a freaking insurance-based practice right now and being miserable. But instead, now we're multi-clinic, multi, you know, helping other PTs.
Yeah, it's so interesting.
Same exact thing. Like, you can kind of a one moment, kind of like, it's just, it's very, even the inflection point of you inviting me to come into the mastermind was another difficult time. Like, what?
Yeah.
What's a mastermind? Why am I paying to hang out with other people? Like, I don't really know. But then, again, same inflection point now where we are.
Well, it comes back to confidence, right? Like, I mean, think about, okay, you coming to Atlanta and seeing my office, which was like very bare bones, right? Yeah. I mean, it wasn't like some super fancy office. The gym really wasn't. You barely could leave anything in your car without it getting broken into.
Sure, like at 5 a.m. I was like, what? I don't get up till like 10 a.m. Why am I going to get this early?
Yeah. But not only that, but then I think people would be shocked. Like, clinically, I'm no genius. Like, there's plenty of people that are smarter than me clinically. So if anything, somebody that would spend a day with me would probably get confidence in, like, well, this guy's really not that smart. And if this shit's working for him, like, I'm probably a better practitioner. Like, I could do this too. And I think there's confidence associated with that. But then you take that same same idea of confidence, and then you get around a group of other people that are all figuring it out, don't know what's going on, working towards the same goal, maybe figured some stuff out, and they're openly sharing it. What you get from that is just like such a huge confidence boost. And confidence plus actual skills is dangerous in business. Like, you'll be shockingly effective at what you're trying to do if you're confident. And people can tell, man. People can tell if you're confident in your skill set, you're confident in your mission and what you're trying to impact, or if you're just trying to fake it. It's so apparent. And that comes. So sometimes you got to buy it. You know, you gotta buy it. That's why I got involved in business groups. I didn't know how to run a business.
Yeah. Surround yourself. We were talking about earlier is surrounding yourself with people kind of like-minded and who want to, you know, iron sharpen iron kind of thing.
Like, yeah.
Got to surround yourself with people who challenge you and have a similar kind of growth mindset. If you surround yourself with people in a fixed mindset, you know.
Oh, totally.
It's going to make things way. I would argue it's almost impossible to be that one person that breaks through that mold.
Yeah.
And continue to be around those people. Like, we've probably all seen certain relationships that have taken a, you know, backside to other relationships as we've become more entrepreneurial and more growth mindset.
I mean, that's a difficult topic of its own, right? You know, and like cleaving off some of those relationships that are, maybe I've had friends for a long time that are just like not the healthiest people for you to be around, you know, anymore based on what you're trying to do. And I don't know if there's anything wrong with that. I think it's a hard thing for people to do, but you're right. What is it? You're the average of the five people you spend the most time with,
yep.
Right? So I guess we need to find two more people to be here right now. Just only three. get our average up. We gotta find two more. We gotta find two really like high achievers to bring our average up. That's the problem.
We went down a lot of rabbit holes in this hour. Yeah.
Well, this was very unstructured, which is good. We get a chance to have these conversations a lot. You know, not just us, but like, I have these conversations with other business owner friends of ours within our mastermind all the time. Like, and I think that sometimes the conversations like this are the most beneficial in terms of just candid, you know, it is what it is. It's just our experience at this point. And like I said, in 5 years, I hope that we look back. Like I look back on this podcast and I'm like, what a fucking idiot. This guy is making no sense whatsoever. He thinks he knows something, but he doesn't know shit. Yeah. You know, and every 5 years that should happen, hopefully. And if it doesn't, then I'm not growing, you know, none of us are. So anyway, that's it for this one. Hopefully you guys liked it. If you did, let us know, man. Shoot me a message on Instagram. You can always leave a comment in the form of a iTunes review as well. That would be cool. Unless it's a bad one, like the guy that doesn't like the fact that I use a little bit of profanity. I'm sorry I lost a listener on that, but that's not changing. Sorry. So anyway, this is the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. Appreciate you listening, and we'll catch you next time.
You want more cash PT biz help? If so, go get a copy of my book, Fuck Insurance. It's your playbook to successful performance PT practice and never having to deal with insurance again. You can get a free copy at finsurancebook.com. That's finsurancebook.com. Inside this book, you'll learn the direct techniques that we have used to become one of the fastest 100% cash PT practices in the country.